Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, Deehee Briefs. There's a 12 Days of Crimesmas joke here, but I'm damned if I can get to it. What I can get to is a terrible play on words. Yay! To wit, the name of this podcast, The Blotter Presents, could also be read as The Blotter Presents. By which I mean this. If you're fresh out of gift ideas for the true crime fan in your life, okay, get that fan some Capote or Bugliosi first and foremost, but once you've done that, a gift tipsterscription to The Blotter on Patreon is also creative and useful. That's patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thank you for tolerating that interlude, and enough about Santa, let's all get to our topic this morning, counselors in my chambers for No Man's Land, the crime. Stephanie Sinclair is the first topic of No Man's Land, a new podcast from The Wing. Sinclair, also known as Queenie and Madam Queen, headed up a numbers racket in 20s and 30s Harlem and took on Dutch Schultz and lived to tell the tale, but then disappeared from the historical record. The story. Did she, though? No Man's Land debuted its first episode November 15th and describes itself on iTunes as a, quote, podcast about women who were too bad for your textbooks. It's hosted by Alexis Coe, who has a very cool job, the in-house historian for The Wing, which is a network of work and community spaces for women. And it has a very clever name and what should be a very compelling take on crime history. But No Man's Land is not speaking to me, at least in its debut episode. It is made with a lot of polish and boasts big-name sponsors like Amazon Prime, and Co. is a skillful host who is at the same time not afraid to get squeakily invested on mic at unearthing archival nuggets or tracking down sources. Unfortunately, that unearthing and down-tracking can feel mystery show-ish and not in a good way, and I'm sorry to keep making that reference, but at this juncture in podcast history, as it were, at least in the subgenre of historical or research podcasts, or podcasts whose aim is to bring untold stories to light or to solve cases or reverse their outcomes, it's not my feeling that pod producers have the luxury of believing that clock-killing dead-end investigations are per se compelling. That is all a bit vague. So let me get specific with my issue here, namely the assertion by Coe right up top that after dominating local life and media, Sinclair disappears from the historical record in 1938. Coe discovers in the second half that this isn't exactly the case, but what follows is not a fleshing out of the skeleton of facts provided by the New York City Records Department, exactly. It's a series of twee-ish blind alleys. A trip to an insane asylum in which Sinclair was allegedly confined, served with a garnish of irritated commentary, justified BT dubs, on the specious, quote, reasons women tended to get committed back in the day. Down a list of witnesses to Sinclair getting hit by a truck towards the end of her life. I will admit that my attention drifted pretty seriously in the second half of the 37-minute pod, so I'm not sure whether Shirley Stewart's book on Sinclair, which, given that it's a full-length book, could probably put paid to much of this speculation versus indulging in a similar style of it, is cited, but I don't think it is. I do know that when Coe announced that, quote, we don't even know where she's buried, I was like, challenge accepted. And I found St. Clair in one Google search. Not that a page on Find a Grave with no photo of the headstone or columbarium slab has the force of law, but given where Sinclair spent most of her life, it makes sense that her final resting place would be in Trinity Church's Riverside Terrace Mausoleum. For those of you who aren't local, that is uptown near Columbia University. Other, quote, permanent residents, as they say at Greenwood Cemetery, include Jerry and Elaine Orbach. It isn't Harlem, but you can see Harlem from there. Wikipedia is also not a great source, in my opinion, and here, even it is rather equivocal on the trustworthiness of its own information on Sinclair's death. But the information is out there, and not just on Wikipedia. It has become a tired historical pod trope, this breathless, windy-miked trip to a graveyard that goes nowhere. And I get that Googling isn't good tape, but this isn't exactly either. St. Clair is a good topic choice whose life, her love life alone, geez, doesn't require judging with ginned-up Sherlocking. And when Co focuses on what is already in the record, just not well known, the podcast is interesting.
I would like to think that the dozens of paid editorials she published made a difference. I'd like to think they made a difference for her, but also for the community, because most of them had nothing to do with the numbers game. They're about registering to vote, what to do if you're a victim of police brutality, to buy black. All of it was exactly what activists in Harlem were saying at the time. A lot of her op-eds were definitely self-interested. She actually openly complained about dirty cops. Not that they were dirty, that was a good thing. She needed dirty cops to protect her and to look the other way.
If you are paying police in order not to get busted, then you should not get busted. And yeah. She was paying her ICE faithfully.
But Queenie didn't get what she paid for.
Amazing. St. Clair used paid editorials to basically Twitter shame NYPD for not delivering on promised corruption. And this section gives listeners a good sense of the times, of the place at those times. But I'd have liked that to be a higher priority than calling the city for burial records almost every amateur genealogist could have told Co they wouldn't have. I'd have liked a less elliptical explanation of the numbers game and its relationship to the modern lottery, and better context for Schultz trying to muscle St. Clair and how she survived that encounter. Instead, we get this, which isn't bad, but it's a little watery and a little cutesy, and there are literally 600 squillion podcasts, and this one is just not quite confident in its basic premise yet, and it should be. Just tell us the story instead of driving around the Bronx thinking that's interesting on its own merits. I broke down in the Bronx last week. Trust me, taint. It's also early in the podcast's run, and I can totally see coming back in a few weeks or months to find other untold stories of badass women, perhaps told a bit more straightforwardly. For now, it's not a subscribe for me. No Man's Land is available only by holding a conch shell up to your ear. Just kidding, it's on all the podcast apps, and I don't really know why I bother with this section. Do you? Yeah. Conk me on the head. Don't get up, I'll fire myself, and replace me with Glenn Weldon. With your suggestions for upcoming content, that's Blotter Presents on both Facebook and Twitter, and of course on Patreon, patreon.com/blotterpresents. That's where you can listen to and sometimes help choose minisodes I don't send to Gen Pop. If you'd like to advertise on the main podcast or on these briefs, haha briefs, message me on social or find my listing for the podcast, that's on advertisecast.com. Thank you for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am always prepared to rule.